Joining me on the phone, it's the first time we've had a chat, Ali Kappa, independent member from Mildura. Ali, good morning to you.
Hi, Dave.
It is good to talk to you. Well, what are you up to at the moment? I'm just being a little bit nosy.
Oh, well, at the moment. Well, we're on the road, actually, today. We're back into Parliament sitting mode, so that's every second week. So Parliament was last week and it's going to be next week, but the weeks in between we try to get out and about. So we're currently parked on the side of the road next to the Yatpool Tower.
Oh, lovely. Okay. Well, look, I do follow your social media, and I am really sorry about this because it's almost like a troll, your social media. But one of the things that I have seen recently is the autism listening tour. You're encouraging families in the Mildura electorate to come forward and share their experiences of living with or caring for someone with autism in the Mallee. Big one, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is, and it's something that you know we find is causing families to leave the region, because you know when that diagnosis happens for their child, they look around for services, and we have some great services. That's not the problem. I'm certainly not trying to put down the services that we have, but they're few and far between. Some other regions have additional services that we don't have, and look, when a family experiences an autism diagnosis, like it can have a massive impact, not just on the person with autism and the parents, but the entire family system, and a lot of that those challenges can be reduced by having a really strong service sector. So what we're trying to do essentially with the listening tour is say to families, come and talk to me, because I don't want to be making assumptions. My brother has autism, but he's in his 30s now, so it's a long time since I was directly impacted by, you know, early intervention services. And so I want families to come forward and tell me what are the gaps, what are their goals, and let's put together a really strong advocacy pitch to the government.
Lovely. Look, just get in contact with your office is the best way.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, get in contact with the office. You know, if you want any of my contact details, you just got to Google my name and it'll come up. Let's start talking.
Beautiful. Excellent. In fact, I do know people in that very situation who have moved out of town because of that this situation. Look, the Timmins Speedway situation as well, speaking of situations. Wow, what's the latest update there? Because was it sort of somewhere around $250,000 they were looking for because of that infrastructure problem?
Yeah, that's right. And it's just such an unlucky sort of chain of events, really. You know, they were doing what they needed to do to make sure, you know, safety was maximised in terms of the fence. But then that has then led to the discovery of, lighting / electrics that are not up to code. And it's going to cost a lot of money for a grassroots sporting club to try and address. So we are doing everything we can. I know that council is doing everything it can as well. We've been in contact with Ros Spence, who's the community sports minister, and she has said that there aren't any sports specific grants available between now and November, but there is a fund open, the Regional Infrastructure Fund, which we have been talking to the local speedway guys about. And hopefully we can put in a good application there and get some joy, because, you know, it's such an important sport. It's not just important because so many people love it, but it's important to our economy, incredibly important. And so, you know, we're really hoping that we can pull off a good outcome.
Look, I'll tell you what, the Mildura Speedway Drivers Club, they're pretty proactive when it comes to it too. They're a $1,000 club. Love that idea that they floated last week.
Yeah, so tell me about that, Dave.
Okay, so I can explain this. It's simple. If you donate $1,000 to the Timmins Speedway infrastructure upgrade that has to be done, they will give you free entry into all of the meetings they run. Obviously, if they're an outside party meeting, they can't give you entry into those. But essentially, all their local meetings right through to the end of the 2026-27 season, I think it is.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, and we know that sort of initiative can look really good on a funding application too. So that's very savvy, that's a great creative way to get people energised to spread the word about the issue, and hopefully will generate some serious cash as well. So yeah, that's a really fantastic development.
We'll definitely keep the fingers crossed with everything. Just quickly, as we do run out of time a little bit, the RateGate campaign, of course, a lot of us ratepayers, most of us ratepayers here. Oh, how's all that going?
Yeah, so RateGate is one of the most important policy fights for me. I was a councillor for 6 years, so I knew what it was like to be targeted as a councillor when rates, you know, were going up. During my time as a councillor, I think when I was first elected, the rate increase was 6%. Then the following year, I think it was 3.9%. The year after that was 2.5%. And then after that, it came, you know, within the rate cap. Because rate capping was imposed. And so then it sort of by necessity had to be within the rate cap. But one of the reasons why Mildura Rural City Council has always been able to stay within the rate cap is because of all of that really hard work that they did. And there's a reason why I can quote you now, years later, exactly what those rate increases were in those years. And that's because it's burnt into my brain, because it was always such a difficult process. You know, people were understandably angry about the comparison between, you know, their rates here in the Mallee versus, yep, their rates, you know, their sister-in-law's rates in Toorak or wherever, you know, the various different comparisons we'd get. And it's fair enough. The problem was there was a misnomer there, and that was it was council's fault. You know, council was just inherently lazy and
not,
you know, flabby, and yeah, that's right, and that we just didn't know how to manage money. But the reality is that councils in rural and regional areas have a system, an overarching system, that is rigged against them, which doesn't properly account for the unique cost pressures that they have. And that's where we need to go if we're going to fix the system.
So you'll keep the you'll keep the finger on the pulse with that. Keep the pressure on.
Oh yeah, we sure will. But the thing is, like, you know, we're talking about a massive statewide policy thing.
Yes.
You know, if it comes to, you know, say me trying to get you know, like a sporting, you know, grant for a sporting precinct, that's one thing that's very localised. And as a lower house MP, I can just do that on my own. But when it comes to changing statewide policy that's going to affect six million people, we need a collective effort inside Parliament. And that's what I'm trying to do, to get other rural and regional MPs across party lines to join with me. Maybe rates aren't a problem in their area, but I'd be very surprised if they weren't. And that's when they need to be willing to depart from party policy or part the party line to stand with their rural and regional residents.
Well, look, Ali, I could sit here and talk an hour with you about rates. Unfortunately, time for me to run, but thank you very much for your time this morning, and we'll catch up again soon.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much, Dave.
That's Ali Cupper, independent member from Mildura.